What about the BEV part of the study? What do you think the clinical implications of those are?
Well, in that respect, this study confirms the prior studies that BEV adds to progression-free survival. And I think it justifies my continued feeling that BEV is an appropriate component of first-line chemotherapy, except in patients that have a significant contraindication to it, such as history of significant arterial thrombotic events, serious wound healing issues, and so on. I think we do have to take a careful look at the response data. It really affects potentially those patients in whom we're thinking about a potential curative resection, and we were giving chemotherapy, say, prior to resection of bulky liver metastases or something of that nature. Whether the potential risk of adding BEV to that population is justified, I think can be questioned now, because we're thinking that we're giving that in order to better the response rate, and these data say that we don't necessarily accomplish that goal. So that's a small minority of frontline patients, but ones that would make me think carefully about the decision. I do not think that this study tells me not to use BEV in frontline, and as with other trials, it says nothing about whether or not BEV should be continued in multiple lines of therapy. I hold to my position that in the absence of data, that's not an appropriate course of action. The revised package insert for bevacizumab says that it is approved for first or second-line therapy. It does not say first and second-line therapy. And so it is my practice to use bevacizumab in one line of therapy. I use it in first-line therapy unless there's some contraindication, and if that contraindication has resolved such that it now would be appropriate to use it in second- or third-line therapy, then I might consider that.